River of Jordan, our Savior went one day, and we read that John the Baptist met him there. When John baptized Jesus in Jordan's rushing water, the mighty power of God filled the air. I'm on my way
to the river of Jordan.
Gonna wait right
in the rushing water.
I'm going down.
I'm going down to the river of Jordan.
Look at me so free, nothing's holding me wonderful set of wings. 1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. 1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings.
Keep going.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings.
Wings. That's what I do every night. I want to fly away. Hi, everybody. It's Jerry again. Hope you're doing well. Happy to see you here. We have Faith and Judy and Raina. We haven't seen Raina for a little while. And Michelle and Rosemary and also on the line. I'll open up here in just a minute. We have Pat and Tana and Alana. I really don't have too much today. I think I'll just, whatever I have here, I will go through very rapidly right now, and then we'll just open it up and we'll see what the Lord does with us. So what I have is I want to mention that the Lord is continuing to work in my immediate vicinity, helping us and being a very active player, leading us into and through some revelation and some relief from certain things around here. And obviously I don't want to get too specific about it, but the bottom line is we are seeing him work in very significant ways, constant reminders that he's in it with us and helping in particular. Yesterday, one person with some of the things that we've got to deal with around here. So it's really good. I also noticed today on a totally different subject matter that there have been several earthquakes over the last day on the Pacific Rim, on the Western Pacific. Most of them today, as we would call it, there were two in northern New Zealand area. One of them is after some working around, they're saying is a 6.0. And but what it is there's a line of them of five or over. There were two of them at 5.0 and a 6.0. And then as you go to the north, there was a 5.3 in Tonga, a 5.1 in Vanuatu, a 5.1 in Papua New Guinea, a 5.2 in Indonesia, and a 5.4 in Indonesia, and even also in the same basic line, a 4.8. These are all almost like a zipper. If you look at the way they follow along the tectonic plate line, they're in the southwestern Pacific. So I found that very interesting. That is an area where there's a lot of earthquake activity, but I don't think I've ever seen so many pop off in sequence of similar magnitudes, as if it purely was kind of a zipper. I don't want to say opening because I don't know what they're really going to do land-wise, but a lot of total energy released there and moved along the zip line towards the north in general and the west to some degree also, so the north and the west. So it appears that from that point it might move northward into the Philippines and, if so, Taiwan and Japan. So we'll see. And then since I'm talking about earthquakes, there were a couple. There was a pretty big one yesterday up in Alaska. And there are a couple, 2.5 and a 3.2 near the Oregon coast. And so there's a lot of, not a lot of total activity, but the ones along the Oregon coast would fit in very nicely as a pattern relative to the ones that are happening up in Alaska over the last few days. So what else do I have? I think for today that's really mostly it. There's some interesting things we've been sharing on email today, but you've all got some stuff And so I'm going to open the lines up right now, and we'll just see what all of you have. We've got Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hello. I love you all. I love you, Jan. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Abba. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to Abba. He's amazing. Oh, he's just amazing. I just can't say how amazing he is enough because, he supplies my needs. He supplies my needs according to glory, search in Christ Jesus, and he's just amazing. I didn't even ask for it, but he sent me angels to send me funds to pay for some of my car repair. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Abba.
Yay.
And thank you, angels. It helped. I didn't ask for it, and I wasn't expecting it, so I'm humbled. And I thank you. Thank you all.
Well, we bless him, and we love you too, Tana, and we're happy that you're being helped. Thank you for your report.
Glory to God. Yeah, praise report to God, because I always say he supplies my needs, and I never worry. And I didn't even ask. I just trusted in him. I say, you supply my needs according to glory's riches in Christ Jesus, and prayers, you know, for sent up, and glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God, and thank you. We are thankful. Let me get the others open here. We have Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi, everybody. Love you. That's lovely, Tana. Indeed, he takes care of everything, honey. You know, so he's so good. He really is. Praise him to the highest. Just numbers, nothing much really to talk about. Just here, listening and loving all you in the Lord.
Right.
Yep.
And Alana, yeah. Let me bring Alana on. Hi, Alana.
Sure. Hi, Alana.
Tana, that is such a blessing. I am so lifted up by hearing your voice and hearing the praise in your voice. I am humbled and elated at the same time. That is wonderful. That is so wonderful. Nothing to report. A long week, I have to say, yes. You know me, I'm just sitting around reading Apocrypha because, you know, that's my thing. Just finished the Gospel of Bartholomew. Wow. So wonderful. Just listening to what's about me. And Jerry, as you know, because I sent you an email, it's a very interesting date. Convergence. I was looking at something really unrelated, and you know, when we talk about how events and patterns dovetail, I was thinking about something else. I looked, you know, on the same whole internet and found that the date range for the Muslim pilgrimage. Called the Hajj, when everyone goes to Mecca for, you know, a fairly long period. It is September 21st to 26th, if I remember it correctly.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
What are the
odds? That's amazing. Yeah.
I wasn't even looking for it and would not have known it. But I was looking at something else, but I thought, are you serious?
Right.
I mean, is everybody invited?
Yes.
I mean, how did it fall on those days? I mean, what are the odds?
Well, now, can you explain for us, because I know you have some knowledge, explain for us the sentiment of Ramadan for the Muslims?
Oh, it is very significant, and we are in the midst of it, and we are in the very hardest time. The reason that Ramadan is celebrated in Islam is that, and it's a lunar holiday, so it goes around the calendar, but it is when the Quran was revealed. You know, it marks the opening of that information. And that's the significance of Ramadan. During Ramadan, do not eat, do not drink for every daylight hour. And by daylight, I mean what you do is you hold up a white thread to the window, and when you, you know, I think, how does it go? Black, white, anyway, as soon as you can determine the color in the sky, that is when you stop eating. And fun, 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 that's when you don't drink either. It's an entire month of repentance and prayer. And it's very special for people who are Muslim, but that's what it's about. And right now, we're in Ramadan. It's the hardest time of the year.
So the reason I bring that up is because it is a direct parallel, not exactly, of course, the same meaning, but the ritual aspects of it are basically identical to Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is also about fasting and praying and repentance. And atonement is called the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
And that's September 23rd, which is right in the middle of those days of Ramadan. So right now,
actually, Ramadan is now. And this right now, we are in Ramadan.
Oh, we're in Ramadan?
We're in Ramadan,
okay, well,
which was why I was wondering about terrorism, because you are prohibited from anything like that during Ramadan. So I was like,
How far does Ramadan go?
Ramadan goes from like the 15th, I can't remember the date. So it's like the 15th of June to like the 15th of July.
Okay.
It's a lunar thing. Now, Hajj is the pilgrimage. And, you know, once in every lifetime, somebody does the pilgrimage. There are a lot of rituals around the pilgrimage. It's in Mecca. You shave your head, you know, you put
that's the one that's in September?
That's the one in September,
okay.
I think, 21st.
Okay.
It's a big deal. People save up their whole lives to do it. And, you know, And these all fall at significant times this year, and within all of these intersecting traditions. I'm great.
Okay, well, so what I'm seeing here is another parallel, because so the Yom Kippur is in the time of the Hajj, but the other thing is this holiday or fast day. Literally, it's a fast day in Jewish. It's going to be celebrated, I think, Sunday, but it actually is Tzom Tammuz, which means the 17th of Tammuz. And and let me just make it clear when that is from a calendar point of view. That is the actual day Tzom Tammuz. Is the 4th of July. And I happen to know that on July 4th, 1776, the day this nation was declared through the Declaration of Independence, was also that year the 17th of Tammuz. The Jews will celebrate it on the 5th because the 4th of July is a Saturday. Okay, so but this is a fast day. And what the sentiment is exactly, and the ritual is the same. Tzom Tammuz, unlike most fast periods, and especially, of course, holidays, is a day-only fast. You fast from daylight, sun up, to sundown.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, just how you described Ramadan.
That's. Except you do it for a month.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Knock a little bit. Isn't it beautiful, Jerry?
Right in the middle of all this.
The confluence of all of these patterns is just the most beautiful thing imaginable.
Right.
Sorry.
So we have, sorry, I was distracted. We do have a really significant amount of symmetry involved here. I think it's just interesting the way things are lining up this year across the calendar. I know it's out of the ordinary, and I believe these are both of these times of year, around 4th of July, and also, obviously, September 23rd area. These are two times when both the Islamic culture and the Jewish culture will be practicing very significant rituals at the same time of year with somewhat similar meanings, and when I suspect very significant events are going to be playing out. So that does not happen hardly at all on the calendar, and so it's very, I think, just really notable.
Hanukkah last year and Christmas and the way that those two coincided as well.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then Thanksgiving,
Thanksgiving.
Two years ago. Thanksgiving.
Is it not cool? And then you got the four blood moons tucked in the middle of all of this. It's awesome.
Yeah. Everything is just screaming departure, and for us, and also major world events. Major world events. So the time is coming. I can say a little bit about my family experience because at least as of today, I know there's a certain thing that relates to this time period in September. I have a younger daughter who's been experiencing, and I really honestly believe these are like growing pains from God because the other two daughters have been through it in the past. But she's been under a little bit of spiritual attack. And fairly scary stuff, and just recently we had clarity, and she was able to receive some strategies that gave her some peace and knowledge of how to respond when she was experiencing these attacks. And these are the kinds of things that kind of happen overnight. Well, many years ago she had a dream where in the dream, and it was a dream from God, but she was confronted by a decidedly evil entity, red being dressed in a black and white tuxedo. There's more to it, but we know it was from God, but it was also significant. And in this dream, remember, she's quite a bit younger than she is now. She was just really scared, but she was able to utter one thing. And the one thing in that dream she was able to utter was, "I will have my revenge." Well, this is not her normal form of speech. It's not her normal way of looking at things. And particularly in a setting that this was in a dream where she was really scared, it's sort of out of context. However, bring that forward to the present time. We have been given some insight about certain things. We understand it was from God. She's been given some relief, and it's affected her ability to sleep, actually. And however, the last 2 days, she has slept really well in the morning and slept in longer than she is normally able to. 2 days in a row, she's awakened it exactly. Now, she has no idea the meaning of this. In fact, I haven't even told her. She's awakened it exactly 9:23 in the morning.
Oh, my.
2 days, 2 days in a row. She has no idea what that date means. Okay, 9:23. And I believe this is the Lord sending a message to us who have been counseling her a little bit, that between that and this dream, which is the a bellwether of the spiritual challenge that she's been experiencing, I believe this is the day where the revenge occurs. And that fits exactly with my prophetic understanding of the events of that day. So I feel like this is a confirmation and a very personal one. But I'll tell you, it's not a date for us to depart. It is a date for vindication of the righteous and condemnation of those who God says he will condemn. And particularly the spirits who deserve the condemnation. So this, as you can imagine, there's a little more I could say about it, but I'm not going to go into it. But the bottom line is I just heard that today from her, and it's a pretty cool deal. God is working, and he is now speaking. As others have experienced, including Pat, I think, he's now speaking more in terms of judgment than I think we have been used to hearing him. And I've been scheduling the shows a couple of days ahead, and sometimes I just kind of put silly titles on them. But I guess the one for today and the one for a couple of days from now, I was led to put a verse on. And I scheduled this just as the show was starting, which is why I opened up chat late, actually. And the verse he gave me was Jeremiah 8:13. So I went to Jeremiah 8:13, and this is what it says. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. So that is the verse that he gave me to put on the show for a couple of days from now. He's speaking in terms of judgment now. I think that's very meaningful.
Do you remember Pat's dream about the lightning? She had a dream a couple days ago.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, are you... She's unmuted.
I'm sorry, I'm here. The dogs are barking. I had to put it on mute.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, that was real. That was not a dream. That I was right there. It happened.
Right.
I saw everything and felt it.
Right.
If I didn't have my faith, I would have been under the table somewhere. out of nowhere. And there was no storm afterwards. There was nothing. Nothing. One clap of thunder, one bright streak of lightning. And I had to get in the house. And I had to go right by where that was, and I was like, well, you're protecting me. I'm in your hands. If I get struck, then you allow it. The thunder was so loud. Like I said, it would rock your soul and put it on polar shift. You know, it would shift the poles in your brain, you know. That's how loud
right.
it was. But I could see him in my spirit, like he was slightly looking down, and he had a white futon on, and he was right near where the lightning was. It was like, I heard all your prayers, but... Oh, didn't you say that, Jerry, too? But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, he isn't a happy camper. You know,
right.
Didn't say anything beyond that. I went in the house. I said, well, I guess you're telling me to get in the house. But there was no more storm. There was nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing. Nothing. A storm doesn't act like that. You don't have one clap of thunder right over your head and a streak of lightning
and
on your deck.
Yeah. Yeah, one streak of lightning on your deck, and then everything fades into nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Into nothing. No rain, no nothing. A couple of sprinkles, and I said, well, where's the rain and the thunder? And I kept listening, and it was like the storm went away. But he that was something, he was telling me something, you know, but the dummy do here. You know, I just tell you guys what it is, and somebody else tells me what it means. Yeah, because I don't know, but I could see, he wasn't mad at me, but he was like, he was telling me something, boy, loud and clear. He was telling me, because I was praying for 2 hours straight, like Tana. I'm so glad she shared that about being in the shower and saying all the praise stuff, because that's what I was doing. It was like I wasn't trying to mitigate or placate or, you know what I'm saying? You know, I was just, I was just, I feel for him. I can feel his tears and pain. I can at times. I cry, you know, for him. We all do. This is something he shares with us. But that day, I was like just praising away. It's almost like, you know, you ever get the feeling, this is kind of dumb, I guess, but you think, oh, if I say enough prayers, you know, maybe. He was letting me know, no maybe here. Yeah, something like that.
Right.
He was letting me know. That was a definite sign of something, and I saw him in my spirit like he was standing right next to the lightning, between right under the thunder. And it's like, no. You can pray till you're blue in the face, girl, but no. You know, his mercy is there, but this world is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah put together. So, I mean, his justice has to operate. It does. And it's for his good. He doesn't do anything unless it's done out of love, even when he has to shake things up, okay? It's done out of love because God is love. But those who are not in him may not understand that, and they might just get even more angry or whatever. But it's a welcome mat. You know, you don't like it. It's got a lot of thorns on it, but it's a welcome mat saying, you know, I'm waking you up. I'm letting you know. Like, pay attention to what's happening. I'm real, and I'm here, and I'm not too happy. Something like that. But that was unreal. That was unreal what happened. I wasn't scared, you know, but I almost laughed because his presence... I laughed not to be rude or anything, but I laughed because his presence was so strong. He was right there, the thunder and the lightning, okay? And I could see him in my spirit. It was like a little kid laughing, like if you open up a present and you're laughing. Like that was a present to me that I was opening up. I was laughing because I was so happy he was so near, even though I kind of knew what it meant, you know. I was saying prayers. That I never said before, okay? I was just saying, making up all these prayers of praise and your kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. I kept saying that to him again. And glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit within me. And I was just constantly praising, or I don't even know if it's a praise prayer. It's just I don't know what kind of a prayer. Just telling him that I, you know, the glory prayer, I guess, and... Man, it shook me. I mean, it was like, it didn't scare me so much. I was flabbergasted that he manifested so powerfully. You know, I think that's the feeling that I had. beyond startling. Yeah. You know, and I was praying so hard and trying to comfort him, and he was giving a message like you just read. You know, I was trying. He was giving me a message like, "I appreciate the prayer, sweetie, but whoa,
yeah,
Daddy's
but
mad." You know.
That's exactly.
I guess.
I'm sure.
It was
that's
too powerful.
Really what it, was.
It was too powerful.
Yeah.
It was too strong. It was too there. It was too his presence. I mean, I don't think in my whole life I have ever seen him that close or that. What's the word I'm looking for? Expressive, or there's a better word for it. Just, I don't know, just loud or just there. Or...
Demonstrative.
I've never seen him. It's like if God the Father stood right there with a lightning bolt in his hand and I heard the thunder.
Yeah,
and I'm laughing because I'm so thrilled that he's so close, but I get the message, you know, like, pray all you want. It, you know, I appreciate it, but hey, you know, this is how it is right
now, you
know.
For you, it was a Holy Spirit moment, and you were laughing. But he was sending a message that for others who are not good standing with him, it's a Holy Spirit
moment. Yes, anybody hearing me? Because I'm like a little kid on the show. I tell you guys everything. I may not understand everything, but then maybe I don't have to. It's somebody else will get it. Somebody will, and he'll say to you, well, Jerry or Alana or whoever else on there, this is what I really meant. You know, I don't necessarily get it, you know, but these things happen. But I'm like a little kid, and I just tell everybody what happens, you know. But anybody listening to this will say, like, what, the thunder, lightning, and it's like that. Like, they might put two and two together and get angry out of it, you know.
Right.
No, that was very powerful. As I said, I haven't had that strong a presence or experience like that. But, you know, I'm so one with him. I'm so in love with him that it didn't frighten me or you know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, you're really there, aren't you? Like, wow, like, this is thrilling,
you know.
You know, but it's...
I think really, Pat.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to see that, you know, one of the reasons he was able to do that with you is because of this intimate, loving relationship you have that's so active.
Oh,
so active.
Extremely deep and long,
it,
long
it
time.
It meant that you could receive the experience without,
yeah,
without
freaking out.
And know that it wasn't meant to be fearful for you. And,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah, and so, you know, there aren't a lot of people that receive that experience that way. So,
I think it would have terrified anybody else. It would have terrified somebody else, really, if you didn't know where it was coming from, because it was too strange for it to be just nature. It wasn't. I saw the lightning, a thick lightning, 2 inches thick, come down from the sky and right there. Yeah, I mean, lightning,
when you
and
sent
thunder.
Out that email that day, I could not believe how calm you were when you wrote it. And the way you were talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I got to
totally,
just get rid of this quick.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, it's okay.
Totally,
and I got Oliver talking to me at the same time with you guys. He was up for a while. My Jesus, man.
Hi, Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah, he's texting. No, that's okay. No, I do. I multitask while I'm talking to you guys. No, I'm paying attention, but I'm all over the place sometimes.
Sure.
But I know how to use mute.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yep.
But that was, you know, Gary, guys, that was just, I can't find words exactly for how I felt. You know, I it's like, whoa, you're right there. He could have been a couple of yards away from me. I mean, that's how close he was. That's how close he was.
Right.
Even in the thunder and the lightning, and
exactly.
I say, I laughed because
exactly.
I was so thrilled to feel his presence so close. Like, wow, you did that for me. You just manifested that. So, and I'm like a little kid, you know, I'm like so simple and little, and it's like, you know, I don't always get everything, and that's okay, he doesn't mind, he likes dummy dues too, you know, but, you know, you know, I'm very simple and childlike with him, and I just have tremendous trust, and we do, I share this very deep, like a bunch of you guys too, I know, very, very deep, loving relationship with him. I'm full of trust, all day, we're together, all day, we look at each other, all day. We're just in each other's face, so to speak. Like, I know a bunch of you two are that same way, too. And that's for everybody. And we don't leave each other ever. And he'll say, you're my constant companion. But he's saying that to all of you who love him and stay with him. You know, I'm retired. I'm here. I can't go out that much, you know. And so I said, and he said to me, maybe you're created just to comfort me and console me. So meaning don't get upset if you're not running here, there, and everywhere and doing everything, because he says, I need souls just to stay with me, just look at me, just look at me, glorifies me, just talk to me, just love me. Like today I was doing, he says, will you just look at me? He says, just love me. Don't get stressed. He says, I don't want you stressed because I know I sent you, Jerry, some things that were kind of stressful. That thing about Anonymous rocked me. I couldn't go to sleep till 2. That, it didn't frighten me, but I said, that's it. That's why we're not hearing all what's really going on. There was a lot of truth in that, I think. There was a lot of truth in that, what I sent you. I really believe that.
Yeah,
you know?
I do think those things are going to happen.
We're
going to
be gone.
In some form. But I also believe, you know, Anonymous is sending out that message as part of Jade Helm. I mean, all of these messages that are going out, because the message didn't actually do anything to help anybody. They're saying, unite, you know. And so all they're really trying to do is to see how many people know each other, because believe me, they're tracking every contact that people make on the internet.
And it's so easy
and
for them to do that.
And they are trying a big part of Jade Helm in this phase of it, because believe me, there's many phases. There's an operational phase after September 15th. But there are many phases to it, but one big part of it is electronic tracking of everybody who would defend themselves from what is being said to occur, you know, any kind of a martial law, any kind of prepper, every type of Christian who would align themselves and try to protect themselves from this sort of operation. They're trying to flush out everybody and identify them. And so putting out a scary message and saying just unite without giving them any practical advice, you know, they're saying they care about you, but what they're really trying to do is get you to contact somebody else that you know so that they can find out everybody who's networking. And quite frankly,
they know, Jerry. They know.
If you're a prepper and you or think you have prepared yourself by communicating electronically?
Yeah.
And have used electronic purchasing or electronic communications?
And who hasn't?
For any of your supplies?
Yeah.
You know, when it all comes down, they're going to figure out who has what where. And
exactly.
Really,
and they're
going to
come get you.
Room to hide. You know,
yeah, they're
going to
come get you. That was like,
so you're
whoa,
deceiving yourself.
That shook me.
You're deceiving yourself. If anything you've done electronically, you're deceiving yourself if you think they won't backtrack that.
Oh, I know that.
So that's what a big part of Jade Helm is right now. It's a computer program. It's not only a logistical program, but believe me, they're tracking every move. And one of the reasons so much of this stuff is being hyped right now is to get people to react so that they can watch and see what those people who are reacting do and who they contact. And so, you know, just don't be surprised if they know everything you're planning if you've done it electronically because...
I'm not afraid for me, but I was thinking of all the people. Like, if we go in the rapture, I'm thinking of the poor ones that this is going to happen to. And this is really, you know, it was just, I don't know, it struck me as this, that he's saying there's a lot more to Jade Helm that we just don't really know. And you see all these Walmarts closing, and they're building in fences around them and military trucks. So it just struck me that, you know, the poor souls who, I can see them doing this. It just rang truth to me that this is what they're up to. This is what they're going to do, you know,
It's not just Jade Helm either. It's, they have other exercises going on in other parts of the country with different names. And so but they're all happening at the same time.
I will also
mention once again, the number of soldiers they have said are involved in Jade Helm is 5,000, okay? Jade Helm is now said to be every southern state, every southern coastal state, plus Nevada, Utah, plus Nevada and Utah. I don't recall that there's others that are non-coastal states. Okay, that entire area, are you telling me they're going to conduct their exercise across the entire southern border of the country with just 5,000 soldiers?
It's impossible.
Trust me, there's a lot more than 5,000. Now, at the same time, okay, we're hearing, I saw a story the other day, I didn't get into the details, but some story about we're shipping our Marines out overseas to Europe and Ukraine and whatever.
Right.
And we're shipping, it's just about a minute to call in, by the way, everybody, not even. We're shipping all, and these are Marines that are being shipped out. Okay, those are the best of the best, and those
right.
are the ones that we've seen videotapes of singing praise songs to God and defying orders to get rid of their Bibles. Okay, those are the ones that are being shipped out of the country, and we're told that the U.S. Navy doesn't have enough ships. Remember, the Marines are part of the Navy, okay, and we're being told the Navy doesn't have enough ships to transport them. So, it is shaping
crazy.
Up to be kind of ugly, and it's in God's hands.
July 15th.
But their intentions, well, it's already going on, certain phases
I know,
of it,
it's,
then
it's,
there's going to be this
that's
other,
just a but, ballpark figure.
This is going to be like a tax. It's, Jade Helm is like a temporary tax. Do you know how temporary taxes are? They never end, right?
Yeah.
They bring in a tax. Well, this is a temporary measure. There is no tax that is ever temporary. Jade Helm will probably, in their concept, never end. So at least
they're up to rotten,
they have,
something rotten.
Right.
And
so trust me,
something rotten.
I don't want to increase the alarm about Jade Helm, but at the same time, if you're doing anything through electronic means and you think you're bypassing the results of any kind of a martial law or Jane Powell exercise, you're fooling yourself. I'm just telling you, you're fooling yourself.
The other message I got is we're going to be raptured very soon because this will happen when we're gone.
Right, I agree.
Yes, so if they're doing this in July, I mean, we're out of here. So the date somebody got from the 3 to the 5th or something like that or to the 7th, I think that's right on. Because we got to be out of here before all this craziness starts.
Let me shift gears here briefly into some date sets. I'm all about today. Today is the day.
25th.
We're leading into the ninth of Tammuz, which is a very important day in my reckoning. I described that on a show a day or two ago. I'm not going to go through it again right now, but I believe this is a very prominent day that the Lord could use to take us. Whether or not that occurs, I also know that leading into the 26th, meaning the 9th of Tammuz, the 28th of June coming up. And for those who have been with us since last year,
right.
28th of June,
right,
you will recall
right.
Several of us
Kevin.
Had the 28th as a very prominent
mm-hmm.
day. Kevin was on the 28th.
Right.
Well, Pat, you just tied into something that I put in chat and you didn't even know it. I'll get to that in a sec.
Well, that's the Holy Spirit.
The 28th of June was a day that we had, my daughter was singing in a show, and
mm-hmm.
the theme of the show was time, and she sang two songs in that show.
Right.
She basically opened and closed the show. She didn't open the show, but she did close the show. And the song she sang in the middle of it was from West Side Story, and the song was Tonight. And the song she closed the show with was a song from the movie Frozen, the animated movie Frozen, and that song was For the First Time in Forever. And
I remember that.
It blew me away, and I sat in that show when that show actually happened. I sat there, and in the middle of the show, I could just feel myself. I wasn't lifted off the seat, but it was as if I was being lightened in a manner that might just happen. So we had really high expectations for the 28th. Now, Pat, let me tie into what you just said, because what I put in chat at the beginning of the show, thinking of Carol and knowing this day leads into the 9th of Tammuz, like, for example, in the evening, tonight at night at the sunset, this is half Christmas. You know, how people have half birthdays? Well, this is 6 months on from Christmas.
Okay,
so
right.
Today is the 25th of June, and that
right.
makes it halfway around the calendar from Christmas. So what you said, Pat, was the 28th representing Kevin, who
uh-huh.
was translated. And Kevin was translated on December 28th, and that makes June 28th a half-year anniversary, or actually 1 year and a half. Since that day.
Yeah.
So you
Judy's
just mentioned...
birthday the 28th, too?
Yeah. It's February 28th now.
Well, it's
so,
still 28th. Alana, didn't Alana get 26 20, 20, 20, or 28?
Right.
Alana got 26 or 28
a lot of us,
at one
I know,
time?
I don't know. I also know Michelle did also, by the way.
I remember
Alana
got
Michelle,
a 26 or a 28 or something a while ago.
Oh, yeah. I read... It was
remember? Remember that?
I was just sitting here calculating. It's 9 months, the end of a
baby gets born in 9 months. Yeah. Birthing time. Wow. See, it's just, Holy Spirit's gone. I wanted to tell you something. Yeah, I know something very strange that I never told anybody. I don't even know if I want to say it. It's kind of just so crazy. I'm going to tell you what he told me. This was in June 19th. No, May 19th. I was looking at the Weather Channel, and it has sunsets. And it was like 8:07 sunset. And Jesus, a voice within me said, count to 30. So I said, 30 what? 30 days? He says, no. It was 8:11. He says, when it gets to sunset is at 8:30 then. So it's at 8:29. So I'm just running it by you. The sunset timing, for where I am. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if there's any whatever, but it was, I said, I couldn't understand, 30 what? And then I'm thinking, that's so long, 30. He says, no, count the increments on the sunset to 30. And I'm like, what? So it's just, I haven't been able to see it. It could be on 30 right now, I don't know. But it always stays like a couple, 2 or 3, 4 days on the same number. So I just don't know that's why.
Oh, yeah, the sunset 30's time,
right.
Yeah.
Sunset. Would be,
wow.
Count 30 from the 11th, count to the number 30. And he said, you know, it was like about that time, you know. So the last time I saw it was 8:20, it was 8:29. That was a few days ago. I haven't been able to see it on the weather. I keep missing it. So I don't know what the sunset is now here, if it's 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just running that by you. I don't know what it means. It went through me, and I counted the time, and it's almost 30. And it's all about the time that we're talking now, you know, so I don't know. It's weird.
So, well, okay, I'm playing with that here.
It would be
what
New
comes
Jersey.
Out of it. So
more,
you're talking
you know,
about a sunset, essentially you're talking about a sunset. What time would the sunset calculate to from what he was saying?
It would be 8:30 because it started at 8:11. On the 19th of the 20th of May, it was like 8:11 or 8:07. It was one of those numbers, and he said count to 30. So 30 is like either tomorrow, the next day, or I look at it. It gives me the sunrise is 5:27, and the sunset is supposed to be about. He said it would be 8:30. I mean, I sound like a nutcase here, but that's what went through me, and I thought like. I must be hearing things. So it would be Morris County, where I live in Morris County, New Jersey, and whatever the sun sets in the East Coast, well, it would be the East Coast. And it always gives a sunset. Yeah. So if it's 6 o'clock, it would be 8:30.
In the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Today
what
or
is
tomorrow,
it now? It's 8:29.
Yeah.
Yeah. It should be in another couple of days. And then it lasts for like 2 or 3 days, the same number. You know, it's been 8:29 for a while now, so count 30. So count 30.
And that begins, and that begins the Hebrew day, so that would be a
time. Oh, wow. Oh, gosh. I'm just telling you what went through me. I haven't said it. It's been since May 20th. I haven't said anything because it felt like a nutcase. But we're talking about all, and you know me, I'm going to tell you guys, even if it sounds weird,
mm-hmm.
what went
That's
through
okay.
me, you know. Yeah. So it's not 8:30 yet. I don't think so. It's still 8:29. You know, sunset.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, because it went through me like clear as a bell, and I thought I must be hearing things. Why would you tell me to count to 30? 30 what? I had questioned him, but I don't know what he meant. And he said, no, not the days, the increments on the clock to count when it comes to 30 from 11. To, when it was 8:11, and count to 30. And I finally figured it out. But I never said anything because I said, I'm not telling them this. I'm totally gone, you know. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know what it meant, you know. Maybe it meant maybe it didn't mean that's the time we're going to be right. Maybe something very, you know, significant is going to happen then or something. I don't know. But that went through me. And I thought this is crazy, but I'm so simple with
mark,
the Lord. I mean, yeah.
it could mark a day.
A day. Like that's what I mean. I don't know what it exactly meant. I'm thinking rapture, but he might have meant something else. He didn't explain what exactly it meant. It just count to 30. You know, when the sun sets at the number 30, 8:30. Started from 8:11. So, but each day it runs 2 or 3 days. It's the sunset. It's still the same time every night. Just about. I've noticed that. The sunrise is 5:27 now. It's kind of stuck on that. So it's right around 30 now. But this was sunset, and I thought like this is nuts.
but where
we are, I mean, we're right at the door. How could we not be at the door? Everything is getting so insane. More insane.
Right.
The earthquakes, and are they worried about the volcano over in Japan there, you know? I mean, another one went off the other day. You know, some other new name volcano. Oh, my gosh, poor Japan. And Fukushima, we're not getting the full truth about Fukushima. Let me tell you guys, we ain't. They're just letting it rot.
I was able to catch this segment in the archives of Paul Begley's show with this guy who was discussing the death of the Pacific. And he's the first person I've heard to talk about this. Most of the information he had are things that I've heard. However, he did have a few other nuggets of information that lined up with things that I've wondered about, including non-radioactive chemicals that were released by Fukushima. One of the big things he discussed was the heating of certain part of the ocean where the radiation concentration is higher. And that stands to reason. And I think the reason it can affect the water temperature so much is because it's an uncontrolled nuclear reaction. Now, in a nuclear plant, it's a controlled nuclear reaction. So in any given period of time, it releases a lot less energy into the water. Here you have all kinds of things going on. But anyway, he had a lot of information to back up the notion, a lot of scientific information, to back up the notion that, in fact, this is basically an extinction-level event, and that the amount of radiation and the effect on the Pacific is, as you can imagine, far greater than what they have told us so far.
Oh, sure.
So
I'm on the East Coast, so I'm thinking, I'm not as concerned as the California would be, psychologically. It's awful. Isn't that awful?
So I don't think I'm going to get into the gearhead details of the Fukushima disaster right now tonight, but it'll probably come up into the news at some point if we're still here and we can talk about it. Basically, we are looking at what we've been discussing here for actually a long time, that this is going to lead to the death of the Pacific and maybe even more. And one of the things he was saying was that the heating of a huge area of the Pacific is directly tied to Fukushima, and that water temperature change has actually been enough to change the currents.
That's bad.
The currents and then also the weather. And the most direct example he gave was that there's this huge blob of area of water. It's like 1,000 miles long, west of California, which is 4.5 degrees hotter than the surrounding Pacific, and it's an out of the ordinary temperature increase that there is no explanation for. And he says, in the same period of time since Fukushima, temperatures in California have raised exactly 4.5 degrees.
Oh, that's bad.
So the water temperature is reflected in the air temperature, and it's changing air currents and weather patterns. So, anyway, without going into all the meaty details, it was an interesting presentation that he had, he did have some information I had not heard. One of the most important things that I heard, I have mentioned once or twice that I wonder what other chemicals have gone into the water and what the measured effects of radiation are. And it turns out that they actually know because of something that happened in the past. They know, they had learned previously that animals at the top of the food chain, like the sea lions and what have you, are considered what's called a sentinel species. They are a proverbial canary in the coal mine, where when you see trouble in the population of sea lions, you know that the supply of fish is down, for example. You know there's something wrong in the food chain. Well, when radiation is in the water, what they have learned, and this is a proven fact in history because of another event and study that was done, that sea stars are a sentinel species for radiation in the water.
Oh, wow.
And the destruction of sea stars has been seen before when radiation got into the water. And it turns out that the material that they're made out of is a particularly efficient storer of those radioactive isotopes, and it causes them literally to become sick, melt, and dissolve.
This
was seen in the past, and so all these sea star researchers, they're watching all these sea stars disintegrate, are either ignorant of this fact, and certainly the U.S. government is full well known, because it was a U.S. government situation where there was a significant release of nuclear material into in a higher concentration into the water, and all the sea stars had exactly the same problem the sea stars on the entire west coast of North America have experienced, which they have basically become almost non-existent along the coast.
Sad.
Furthermore, last year on the coast of, I think, Scotland, either England or Scotland, the exact same type of wasting disease occurred in the sea stars off of Scotland.
I remember that,
that the nuclear power plant had had an above-regulation release of radioactive water.
Well, there you go.
For the wasting event. So all of the sea stars that had disappeared in the Pacific, they're just directly tied to radiation in the water, and they tell you they're a sentinel species for radioactive isotopes in the water. So there is no mystery. It's a known scientific fact.
How do they explain all the purple sea slugs and those other pink kind of shrimp things that came up on the shore? Now, they were alive, and they're saying the water was too warm that they came up. But could it be from the radiation?
That's a lie. Well, it could be any number of things. It could be chemicals in the water. It could be the radiation. But, I mean, what we do know is that it had to be – I mean, these things crawled out of the water, right, and died on the beach. How bad did the water have to be for them to decide to crawl up, you know, several hundred feet of depth up to the beach to crawl out onto the beach and then die? How bad had it have to be? So, you know, it could be that there is volcanic or precursor to earthquake activity, or
it could be from
the sickening of the water. But in either case, it's a harbinger.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. It's
serious.
A bad sign.
It's a serious thing.
Yeah, that's very bad.
I just wanted to mention that I had happened to catch that. I found it significant, and he did have information I had not yet heard before. So you know, if you want to catch that or whatever, the bottom line
is,
there actually is a lot of known scientific evidence that does support the notion that Fukushima is on a scale that is quite capable of basically killing the Pacific, and maybe a whole lot more.
We'll never know the whole truth. Never.
Well.
I don't think we will.
Not in our human condition, though.
No.
But
the other thing that's happening is bankers are dying again. They said a whole bunch of bankers are being, for whatever reason, you know. So that's, and that one was found in Mexico. He was an ambassador. He was hiking. He was found dead, you know. So, I mean, just weird stuff going on. Just weird stuff. Sad.
I think that was the former White House chef, wasn't it?
It was. I think he. I don't know if he was a chef.
Another
he was
guy.
Something else.
Another guy.
Another guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in the mountains, and he was a higher up guy, ambassador or something. Yeah. So he was found dead, you know. So it's just weird.
They are weird. They are dying faster than we can count of unnatural.
I know. So what do the bankers know that we don't know or should know? Or why are they dying, you know? And then because of CERN, people are dying. Things are being released. It's just crazy.
They are reducing the numbers of people who might, they're basically eliminating people who the elite think might rat out their plans.
Could be.
And they really
be.
Start to happen. And,
yeah.
Uh, you know, we might even be seeing some results of jade health. Who knows?
And the other thing they showed, which is sickening, is the bunkers, the billionaire bunkers under the ground, 2,000 feet of the luxury and stuff. I just had a laugh. I just had a laugh.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, really. Dear God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. Common sense tells me if I was going to a bunker, I wouldn't want to go to one where everyone knew where it was at. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Because, you know, even in human terms,
oh, they're beautiful.
You know, people will find a way in, and they will not appreciate the manner in which you've set yourself apart from their destiny.
What about earthquakes?
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh.
Well,
that's bad, girl.
Yeah,
you shouldn't laugh because bunkers could have earthquakes. That's nasty. No,
well,
they don't love
yeah.
God.
Well, yeah, well,
they can
I
have
know,
earthquakes.
I agree. I think that is what's
going to
happen to most of them.
I think so. They show swimming pools and just total luxury and big glass partitions. And I'm saying, you're not going to be protected from an earthquake down there. You're nuts. You think God doesn't know how to find you because you're in a hole in the ground?
That's right.
You know, you think you're just going to wait it out here and come up when everything's kind of okay and do your thing and be selfish and horrible and nasty and proud and egotistical and you're going to live? I don't think so. Oh, I don't. No. No, it's just, it's just terrible when you think of it. It's just terrible.
We were chatting back and forth in chat and Raina put up a video and made a comment, angels waiting to blow the trumpet. That's what she, I think, interpreted the picture in the sky as. And I said, blow that trumpet. And I realized,
oh, yeah, blow that trumpet, angel.
Where's Louis Armstrong when you need him? So what I'm going to do is
get him out there. He can blow that trumpet. You better believe it.
Play some Louis Armstrong, and then we'll come back after the song. If anybody does something else, we'll go into that.
Like the one in the Wonderful World?
Yeah. Well, this is when the saints go marching in.
Sisters and brothers.
Good one.
This is Reverend Satchmo getting ready to beat out this mellow sermon for you. My text this evening, when the saints go marching in. Here come Brother Hickenbottom down the aisle with his trombone. Blow it, boy. We'll be right back.
compass when you keep blowing. Don't stop, and so we go. Keep blowing that trumpet. Okay, so I've got Judy and Alana and Pat on the line. And, of course, we don't have much in chat now because they can't hear the show. So does anybody have anything they want to share or bring up?
No.
Okay. Well, well, I think what I'll probably do is play a couple of songs and send us out. I'm very excited.
Okay, hi, Jerry.
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Love you guys.
Love you.
How's our
Jordan
doing?
What's that?
Any word on Jordan?
I didn't understand.
How's Jordan?
Any word on Jordan?
Oh, Jordan.
I sent him an email. I sent him a text. Haven't gotten any word back. You know, but then again, he is his age, so I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And I truly do not at this point believe I'm going to get there.
Yep, we don't either.
Yeah, so we're
working out every detail for Jordan. I have such a piece about how God's going to serve and work for him. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I'm excited about our departure. I was sleeping earlier. I finally slept, which is really nice. And
that's good.
God, it's just exciting, all the news and you know, it's hard to be here. It's such an evil.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
That's an evil place we live in. But God's making us better, stronger, faster, more improved versions of us. Longer we're here, right?
We're the bionic church.
Yeah. Faster, better, smarter. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Fletched to the max.
Yeah. We are. We're pretty darn spectacular.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's a real heat wave here right now in Cali. Woo, guys.
Really?
Hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking blazing hot.
Wow.
Oh, it's cold here.
I like cold. I really don't like the heat.
I don't like either.
I do. Yeah. I'm from the South, you know.
Oh.
Everything feels so fresh when you're cold, and when you're hot, it all feels gross and sticky and yucky.
Yeah. Yep, you got it.
Anyway, Jesus needs to come and get her done.
Amen. Amen.
Definitely.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm feeling really encouraged. My brother got into a home. He goes in Monday. Praise God.
Oh, praise God. That is so great.
And guess what?
Thank you, Jesus. What?
In the area. It's less than 20 minutes from the city.
Oh, wow.
So he's going to be here tomorrow through Sunday at my house, so it's a perfect pooping day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yep.
Right.
So it kind of lines up with it. Very, very exciting. Thanks, everybody, for praying for my bro. God's getting
hold of
him.
Oh, sure.
Real good stuff.
Sure. Oh, he's going to be okay.
He's got the whole world in his hands.
Amen, hallelujah.
Everything.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Kind of feels like we're still here, and it feels like he overlooked a detail, and then he'll do something amazing for me. And I'll be like, he didn't. It just sometimes, yeah, but the truth is, he's all over our stuff. He really is. He gives me evidence of that every now and then. Like,
oh, sure.
Like, hello, did you forget? But nope, then he'll I don't know why he yelped. Oh, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you,
yes.
Jesus. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for that you are coming to judge this earth, and your judgments are just and they are right, and we encourage you, Lord. We encourage you with your bride. We're so excited about your judgments because we know that they're your mercy. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that we get to fellowship with one another. Thank you for all of our blessings.
Amen.
We are indeed spoiled with your goodness.
Yes, we are.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. You're good, thoughtful, kind.
Protecting.
Oh, yeah. I have to tell you guys. You guys are going to love this. Oh, you know what? There's not enough time. I'll do it tomorrow. It's going to take a while to tell you everything. There's been a lot going on, okay? And it's pretty amazing. But I just need to tell you when I'm not. I think by tomorrow I can share stuff because I'll be rested.
Mm-hmm.
And I can. If we're here, we're probably not going to be here, so then it won't even matter. But,
good. Sit around up there and talk about it.
Yeah, it's cool. Sure. God's really cool things. I love him.
Great.
You know, he's definitely being sweet about it.
Great. Well, tell us tomorrow then.
Yeah, I'll share tomorrow if we're here. And Jerry, is anyone hosting? I can probably host.
I'll share. No, I'll host tomorrow. I'm fine. It's really no problem. I mean,
okay,
you can host it if you want, but just let me know.
Okay.
So there is one other thing I was going to mention. I started going through the dates, and what I was trying to get to was after the 28th, because the 28th does seem to be a significant date in our recent history. If we get to the 29th, then probably on the 29th I will discuss what I know about the near-term date sets that are approaching in the basically the first week or so of July and the things that are related there. So I will. So I'm kind of holding off that discussion until we get through the next few days because I know, quite frankly, I really do believe we could go any minute. And in fact, I'm feeling encouraged when I say that just now. So we really could go any minute, and there's ample time to discuss that later if we're here. But so I'm very encouraged, and that's kind of what I know. I just wanted to mention. I'll get into the date set stuff again, and I've mentioned it before, but I'll get back into it. It sort of brings us back to the Elijah pattern a little bit, as well as some other details, and we'll go through that. Day counts and things, kind of cool. If we're here, but if we have to go through the end of the second week of July, I can't imagine that we're going to be here past the 9th, but we'll see. But I really expect us to go before.
Yeah,
really
right,
do.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so does anybody have anything else?
Okay. Just love you all.
Okay, love you all. The
hang in there.
The bride says...
Come.
Come.
Like
Spirit
really,
the bride says,
really come.
Come already. The
yes.
Bride says...
Like, right now.
I'm waiting...
I have been waiting.
Aren't you done by now?
I have a little word with the daddy up there.
You know, I'm actually not having a lot of myself.
Me, I'm enjoying the wait. I think the wait is fabulous. it's always fabulous to look at. You know how strange I am.
Oh, it's okay.
So the spirit of the bride says, come.
Come right now.
So,
tonight.
We will have two songs and we'll close it out. Love you all.
Okay. Love you all. Talk to you tomorrow.
Love you.
Bye, guys.
Bye, y'all.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me and I will write you a song. Come away with me. Come away where they can't send us with their lies. And I want to walk with you on a cloudy day in fields where the yellow grass grows knee high. So won't you try? Come away with me and we'll kiss on a mountain top. Come away with me and I'll never stop loving you.
Because we're together, weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly away. Oh, come on and fly. Once I get you up there, get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear all the angels cheer because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say those words and we'll beat those birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so